Welcome to the AWS podcast, hosted by Simon Alicia and Simone Brunazze. This is your regular update of new services, interviews, deep dives, and technical tips. If you'd like to share your feedback, please use the Twitter or email links available at aws.amazon.com/podcast. Hello and welcome to the AWS podcast. Great to have you back for episode number 44. My name's Simon Alicia, Principal Solution Architect here in Melbourne, Australia. And joining me as always is my very well-travelled colleague, Simone Brunazze. Hello, Simone.
Hello, Simon. Very good to hear from you again. This is Simone Brunazze, Senior Technology Evangelist for Amazon Web Services, based in sunny San Francisco. I'm actually in the office today, and I can see the panorama of the Bay Area. It's a stunning day. It's so beautiful. Actually, I can't wait to finish recording the podcast because I want to go out and have a walk while it lasts.
Absolutely. Now, a quick programming note, two quick programming notes, in fact. So the alert of you would have listened and heard that the podcast theme music has changed. So we're very customer obsessed at Amazon, and many of you have said you don't like the podcast music that we had. So we've changed it. So if you like it, let us know. If you don't like it, let us know also. We'll do our best to accommodate all tastes.
Yes, hopefully and people will like it. Let's cross
exactly.
our fingers.
We can only hope. It's hard to please everyone when it comes to musical taste, that's for sure. Also, shortly, we'll also be introducing into the podcast stream, I should say, that's quite hard to say, is the audio version of the AWS report that is put together by our chief evangelist, Jeff Barr. So you'll also be able to get that from the same stream to get some additional information from AWS as well, which I know a lot of customers have been looking for in audio form.
Nice. That's good news.
So, Simone, there were some important announcements for our listeners in Japan and for those customers who utilize the Japan region.
Yes, indeed. In fact, first of all, I'm proud to re-announce. It has been announced a few days ago, but we are re-announcing it here in the podcast that we have Amazon Redshift available in Japan. So as a reminder for people that are not familiar with it, Redshift is a fast, fully managed petabyte scale data warehouse service, and today it's offered as at a price point that is a tenth of most traditional data warehousing solutions. Amazon Web Services launched Redshift in February of 2013, so about 5-6 months ago, and since that time we've signed up well over 1,000 customers, and we are currently adding over 100 plus customers per week. So in aggregate, we've enabled those customers to save millions of dollars in capital expenditures, or CapEx, because Redshift is really much less expensive than traditional solutions. As a reminder, Redshift is currently available in US East or Northern Virginia, US West, Oregon, EU West, Ireland, and now finally and happily Asia Pacific, Tokyo regions. And of course, additional regions are coming soon.
That's fantastic news. And our Japanese customers also now have access to some new EC2 instance types. So I'll run you through them quickly. So we have the Cluster Compute 8XL, which is 60.5 gigabytes of RAM, a pair of Intel Xeon E52670 processors, and 3.3 terabytes of instance storage. So the very high CPU performance and cluster networking features of this instance type make it a fantastic fit for things like analytics, encoding, renderings, and, of course, high-performance computing. There's also now the high-memory cluster 8 extra-large instance. As you can imagine by the name, it's pretty big. It's got 244 gig of RAM, dual Xeon E5s, 240 gig of SSD instance storage, so you can run memory-intensive applications, analytics, databases, HPC, and anything that relies on a high amount of memory. We've also now got the HiO quadruple extra large, which is one that came out a little while ago elsewhere, 60.5 gig of RAM, 2 terabytes of SSD storage, 16 virtual cores, so this is an awesome platform for NoSQL databases like Cassandra and MongoDB. And then we have the high storage 8 extra large, which has 117 gig of RAM, 48 terabytes of instance storage, which is 24 drives, each with 2 terabytes, and 16 virtual cores. So this is awesome for building things like data warehouse, Hadoop jobs, and cluster file systems as well. So all the instances that I've just mentioned include the 10 gig Ethernet networking and have very high network I/O performance.
This is fantastic, and I'm really happy to see more capabilities available to customers there. Actually, I don't know if you've ever been to Japan, Simon. Have you?
I haven't. It's on my list, but I'm guessing you've been there at some stage.
Okay, yeah, I've been there about 3 years ago, actually. I was there on a visit for a conference, and I remember meeting with actually two different AWS user groups in Japan, both in Tokyo. I was only in Tokyo at that time. And it was incredible to see how Japanese customers are so interested in every detail of Amazon Web Services, like, for example, those numbers that you just spelled like seconds ago, like, you know, CPUs and disk drive space and SSD drives and those kind of things. So Japanese customers are so interested in details and getting to know, of course, about the latest and greatest about AWS. I was actually amazed. In fact, I actually picked also a few words of Japanese. Let's see if we have any Japanese listeners in this podcast. So let me see if you can understand me. Watashi wa nihongo ga sukoshi wakarimasu. This should mean I speak some Japanese, hopefully, if I remember correctly.
Unfortunately, that's the only Japanese that you speak, so you have no follow-up after that phrase.
Yeah, I think so. Arigato gozaimasu, Simon.
Fantastic. That's great. So a bit more news. Another handy tool that customers like to use quite often is something that's called CloudFormer. And this is really useful in creating CloudFormation templates. So, Simone, maybe we should step back and just recap what CloudFormation is.
Yes, correct. Actually, we've heard a few times from customers that it's always good for us to quickly recap what a service is before we, you know, describe, you know, the latest feature or the latest new region, etc. So AWS CloudFormation gives developers and sys administrators an easy way to create and manage a collection of AWS resources that are related to each other. Of course, this allows you to provision and update them in an orderly and predictable fashion. So you can use AWS CloudFormation's sample templates or create your own templates that describe the AWS resources that you need and any associated dependencies or runtime parameters as well that are required to run your application. This means that you don't need to figure out the order in which AWS services need to be provisioned or the subtleties of how to make those dependencies work. CloudFormation takes care of this for you. And once deployed, you can modify the template and then update the AWS resources in a controlled and predictable way, which essentially allows you to version control kind of your AWS infrastructure in the same way as you version control your software.
Yeah, it's very cool. It certainly is one of my favorite services. And the CloudFormer tool allows you to select any of the AWS resources running in your account for inclusion in the template. So if you select resources that have dependent resources, so for example, an Amazon EC2 instance which is associated with an EC2 security group, the tool will automatically select any dependent resources. You can override any of the pre-selected resources or add other resources as necessary. You have full control of the resources to be included in your template. Logical names are chosen based on the existing resource names, but you can edit the names that will be included in the template, and you can add output parameters based on the attributes available for any of the resources. The template can be uploaded to your S3 bucket and launched directly via the AWS CloudFormation stack creation wizard. And really, the CloudFormer tool is intended to create a starting point for your template. And once created, you can customize it as you like. So it gives you a bit of a boost in getting that template written. And recently, we introduced support for the following extra AWS resources. So Amazon VPC, which includes the VPC itself, subnets, routing tables, routes, etc. Amazon CloudWatch Alarms, Amazon DynamoDB, ElastiCache, Simple Notification Service, S3 bucket policies, simple queuing service queue policies, and simple notification service topic policies. Moreover, CloudFormer now has an improved error handling and resource level messaging. So basically, get automating is the message.
Yeah, very nice. Actually, one last thing before we move to the next topic. It's very common for customers to create an infrastructure on AWS, and then once they tweaked it, once they know that this is exactly what they need, then it's probably the good moment to use CloudFormer to essentially set in stone somehow, so create a template out of that running infrastructure And then, of course, you can access the template, customize it, override things if necessary. But it's essentially a good way to somehow fix whatever you built, whatever you played with in the last few days, once you know that that is exactly the infrastructure deployment that you might need for your production environment.
Spot on.
Yeah. So now we have an update on the DNS failover side of things. Yes, Simon?
We do indeed. So listeners might remember that a little while ago we introduced support in Route 53, which is our DNS service, to do automated DNS failover for your website by regularly performing health checks on each endpoint that you have deployed globally. And this was done by specifying EC2 instances or Elastic IPs to check. But it did not at the time cater for Elastic load balancers,
yes,
did it?
Yes, correct. But now the good news is that customers can do it with Elastic load balancers as well. So once you enable it, Route 53, or as you say down there in Australia, Route 53.
That's right.
Yeah, it's always like that. So Route 53 or Route 53 automatically configures and manages health checks for individual ELB nodes. ELB, of course, stands for Elastic Load Balancing. And Route 53 also takes advantage of the EC2 instance health checking that ELB performs. Of course, information on configuring your ELB health checks is available on the documentation and also on the footnotes. So essentially, by combining the results of health checks on your EC2 instances and on your Elastic Load Balancer, Route 53 DNS failover is able to evaluate the health of the load balancer and the health of the application running on the EC2 instances behind it. So in other words, if any part of the stack goes down, Route 53 detects the failure and routes the traffic away from the failed endpoint to whatever other endpoint you configured. And a nice bonus, just if it wasn't enough, we also have an extra bonus. Because you don't create any health checks of your own, DNS failover for Elastic Load Balancer endpoints is available at no additional charge. You aren't charged for any health checks.
That's great stuff. More functionality and no cost associated. Always a great thing. I think it's one of our favorite themes in the podcast.
Yes, and at Amazon Web Services, we really like to essentially give you things for free. So, Simon, I think it's time for a black belt tip. So what do you have for us today?
Yeah, so this one is a small one, but really useful for our Ruby-focused listeners, and I know there are many of you out there. Whenever you write code to operate against the AWS API, you need to, of course, specify the particular endpoint, which defines the region in which the particular operation will take place. So we know that we have multiple regions around the world, and every instruction needs to explicitly specify which region that's taking place in, which means that our customers always control things like placement of data and where activities take place, which is a good thing. Now, the Ruby software development kit defaults to the US East 1, so the Virginia region, for all services. And until recently, you had to specify the full regional endpoint for each service you connect to outside the default region. Now, this could be annoying if you're working with multiple regions or if your default preference is not US East 1. So me, for example, I'm an AP Southeast 2 kind of guy, and that's my default region. So the good news is that you can now set the default region for all services with a single configuration option. Services will construct their own regional endpoint from the default region. So, for example, if you want to do all your work in AP Southeast 2, like I do, you could specify aws.config:region: AP Southeast 2. You can pass the region endpoint parameter directly to a service interface. So this is helpful if you need to connect to multiple region endpoints for a single service. So, for example, if you wanted to create two new S3 Ruby objects, one in US East and one in US West 2, you could say s3_east=aws:s3.new:region:US-East1, s3_west=aws:s3:new:region:US-West2. So I know you all love me reading code to you. All this, though, makes coding a lot easier. And when you look at it, it's very straightforward. It means you can define different endpoints in a very dynamic fashion, and easier coding is always a good thing.
Nice. This is fantastic. And, of course, to our listeners, if you weren't able to follow the coding examples, of course, don't worry. First, they're quite simple, but then there will be a link in the show notes so you can take a look at those three lines, essentially, those very simple lines. And I think it's time to wrap up for this week. As usual, feel free to visit aws.amazon.com/podcast for all the links and the show notes. And of course, we always love to get your feedback, good feedback or bad feedback, whatever you have to say, just let us know via email, awspodcast@amazon.com, or you find us on Twitter, @AWSpodcast.
Fantastic. Great to speak with you all again. Look forward to speaking again next week. And thanks, everyone. See you later.
Yeah, thank you. Arrivederci.
Thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. We loved getting your feedback, so please contact us on Twitter @AWSpodcast or via email awspodcast@amazon.com. Theme music provided under Creative Commons by Miles Rogers, audiofarm.org/audiophiles/22275.